Just a quick advertisement. Tuesdays and Thursdays, third hour, is debate class. And so we've started debating now. And none of my debaters want me to say this in public like this, but you're welcome to come. So we meet in Alumni Hall. Lawyers are invited. So that's Tuesday, Thursday, third hour. Come listen to a really exciting and thrilling debate. All right? Yes, Joseph, you're looking around at everybody else. I know I'm in big trouble, but that's okay. I'm used to it. My Bible's open here to 2 Timothy chapter 1, if you want to open your Bible there too, or pull out your iPad or something like that. And this is a great chapter because it talks about important memories, because memories are powerful. And I don't know about you, but it's fun to sit around sometime and just remember some great experiences in the past. I have great memories of this place, you know, all of the various ways in which I got in trouble living in the dorm. I figured out about 5-6 new ways over the years. And about 5-6 new rules in the rule book just because of me. But one of the things that I love was just sitting around with my family and remembering fun things in the past. Do you like to do that? You know, my kids come home and then we sit around the front room and then we just start laughing and recounting funny things that we all said and did. And I have great memories of my kids. One time, my oldest, Alicia, she and her husband live in Binghamton, New York now, but she's a really little girl. One Thursday night, I asked her to help me take the trash out. So she grabbed the small bag and I grabbed the big bag and we walk out to the curb there to dump the trash. And I could see St. Luke's over there and they were having a Thursday night service and it hit me. Oh, this is Easter week. This is Maundy Thursday for them. So they're celebrating the fact that Jesus was observing the Passover with his disciples. And so I turned to Alicia and I started explaining all of this to her. This was the night that Jesus got the Passover all ready and they sat around and the bread and they drank and he was saying all these things. And I explained it all to her and I stopped and looked at her and she crumpled up her little face and said, "On trash night?" So obviously wasn't a very good communicator back then. Not doing too much better now. And then I've got Judson. I've got so many great memories of my son, but probably one of my favorite was he was really little. And it's in the morning, I'm getting ready, and I've got shaving cream, you know, all over my face, and I got my razor in my hand, and I'm standing there getting ready to start, and he steps in and says, "Dad, what are you doing?" And I'm thinking, I've got shaving cream on my face. I'm looking in the mirror. I've got my razor in hand. What do you mean, what are you doing? And so I turned to him and said, "I'm outside mowing the lawn." "No, you're not, Dad. You're shaving." "No, I'm not. I'm mowing the lawn. I'm outside right now." "No, you're not, Dad." Oh, my word. We went on and on forever about that one. And then one day, one of my great memories of Tori, I don't know if she came in yet, but if she didn't, make sure you remind her that I said this in chapel, okay? So one of my great memories of Tori is she was really little, okay, really little. And I walked in, and we had this big Dalmatian dog, and I walked to the back of the house, and I could see our Dalmatian, and there's stuff all over him. And I start looking Buddy over, and I realize there's toothpaste all over the dog. And I kind of bark out real loud in the house, "Who toothpasted the dog?" Now, you know, that's not the kind of thing that you want to volunteer an answer to, you know. Yeah, but Tori, she was little. She said, "Oh, I did, Dad." I'm like, "What in the world?" And she said, "Yeah, I was playing Connect the Dots with toothpaste." I don't know. What's that all about? But I love getting together with my kids because memories are so powerful. They're so important. 2 Timothy 1 is a chapter in which Paul is having some memories, and by having memories, he's encouraging Timothy to have these memories with him. "I want you to remember some things," he says to Timothy. "Hey, remember the time that we did this? Hey, remember that time when we were here and that happened? And remember that crazy lady? Yeah, that was great, wasn't it?" That's what's taking place in 2 Timothy chapter 1. He's trying to encourage Timothy by recalling some of the great memories that they both share. Because memories can be powerful. Memories can be incredibly powerful. In one sense, memories can disable people. But in another sense, memories can enable us. They can create destinies and trajectories for us to fulfill. What memories was Paul having here and encouraging Timothy to have? Well, let's look at the first one here. It's in verse 3. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers. Timothy, as we start talking here, I'm thinking about the forefathers that you and I both share. So tradition tells us that at this particular time, Paul was in the Mamertine prison. And you have these dark stone walls, smooth stone walls, one hole up in the ceiling for a little bit of light and a little bit of air. It's probably actually in better condition today than it was back then. You can go see it on Google Images, okay? And he says, Luke's the only one with me right now. All the other people are gone. Demas, he's forsaken me. All the other co-workers, the young guys that are part of the ministry team, the Apostle Paul evangelistic team, they're all off on their own now. They've got their own teams. They've got their own ministries. Timothy, I know you've had it rough in Ephesus. It's been tough. I wrote you about that. Constantly challenging false teachers. We had to excommunicate Hymenaeus out of the fellowship. He was stirring up trouble back then, and he's still stirring up trouble for you. Remember that? But I'm thankful as I think about the whole history of God's marvelous plan, his design. Because I have to go back to the forefathers. My mind goes back to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, some of the great heroes of the faith. And you know what, Timothy? You and I are in that same line. You ever thought about that? We're doing today, what you and I are doing, is essentially carrying on the essential plan of God that he had from the very beginning. And the hardships that we are enduring, they went through all before us. You ever thought about that? Go back and think about those people from Hebrews 11. Remember the long talks that we used to have about the forefathers when we were traveling around together? We used to talk about experiences that Abraham... Remember that day we talked about Noah and how we started laughing about it and all the rain coming down? And then remember how it got real serious because we talked about 120 years of really nothing, building. Remember the forefathers? And my conscience is clear because I've tried to do exactly what they had done. Remember the forefathers. That's a powerful memory. Remember Noah. Remember Abraham. Remember Joseph. Remember Joshua. You know, young people, those are your forefathers. Those don't just belong to the Bible. They, in many ways, belong to each one of you. Noah belongs to you. Abraham belongs to you. The struggles that Joseph had, those belong to you. They're yours to embrace as a part of your history, your spiritual walk with the Lord. Remember the forefathers. Have you done that recently? Maybe be a good idea to sit down with Hebrews 11. Kind of remind yourself, there's no sense in going back. Go forward in faith. Go forward in faith. There's a second memory here in chapter 1, verse 3. The latter part says that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Now, Paul practiced what he preached. He had said, pray without ceasing, right? And so he's saying here, well, I've been praying without ceasing. I've been praying night and day, always constantly in prayer. Paul was one of those guys that seemed like he was always talking to himself, but he wasn't actually talking to himself. He was talking to the Lord. He was talking about his feelings. He was talking about the students he was teaching, talking about an assignment that he had to grade. He's talking about all those kinds of things that were going on in his life every day. The kind of way that you and I should talk all day long, every day. We're talking with each other and we're always talking with God. That experience just happened in class and now we're talking to God about it. We just got that email and now we're talking to God about it. Just got that text from home and now we're talking to God about it. I'm constantly always praying. And when I do, and when I think of you, I have this memory of you, and it's incredibly powerful because the last time I saw you, you were crying. The last time I saw you, you were in tears. And that just makes me want to see you all the more right now. I don't know why Timothy was crying. Might be that they're remembering back to Paul being arrested and perhaps Timothy was with him. I don't know. A couple of Roman soldiers came in and maybe a captain and they roughed him up a little bit, pushed him down. Paul's an older guy, you know, he's in his mid-60s. Timothy is just trying to intervene, trying to ask him, hey, stop, he's my friend. Hey, stop, don't do that. He's like my dad. They shove Timothy away and pretty soon there's blood on the ground and it's Paul's and Paul's in obvious trouble and the soldiers rough him off and Timothy's yelling, hey, he's a Roman citizen, you can't do that, you can't do that. And as Paul is being dragged away, he looks back and he sees Timothy in tears. Tears of sorrow, tears of fear, tears of bewilderment. I have this incredible memory of you and you're crying. And it's a powerful memory. Maybe he's remembering how Timothy often cried when he thought about the Ephesian church that he pastored. He cried over people that fell away from the Lord. He cried over members that would cause him unending struggle. He cried over people who he labored with and put time and effort into, and then they just seemed to deny him and go away. That must have been tough. And he says, Timothy, I want you to remember those tears. I remember them. Do you remember them? Remember your feelings. Remember your forefathers and remember your feelings because those are important. Now, Paul doesn't want us to live our lives by our feelings because they can be deceptive at times. In fact, the best paradigm for dealing with our feelings is still that old paradigm of fact, faith, feelings. Know the facts about God's word and his promises, put your faith in those, and the right feelings will follow. But on the same token, Paul doesn't advocate a stoic, feelingless, emotionless Christian experience either. He says, don't forget your tears. Don't forget that you were crying the last time that I saw each other because those feelings are powerful. Those memories of those feelings are powerful. In fact, what about you? You remember that day when you were overwhelmed by the grace of God demonstrated in Christ as he suffered your punishment? You placed your faith in him, and the words, with joyful grief, I lift my praise, abhorring all my sin, adoring only him. Those feelings, those emotions, those tears, those memories are powerful. Embrace them. Embrace them. Is that true of you? There's a third memory here. It's in verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. Now the operative term here is unfeigned. You have to understand it, you kind of have to start with the word hypocrite or pretender. And then you stick a negative in front of it as the prefix. So it's like non-hypocrite, non-pretender. And so to be unfeigned means to be real or to be authentic. Timothy, I got a memory of you. And I remember that your faith is authentic. It's real. You think of all the hundreds of people, Timothy, that I have known. that I've led to Christ myself. I've heard their testimonies at their baptism. I watched them get involved in witnessing and ministry. All of those people, people like Luke and Priscilla and Aquila and Barnabas. Oh, what a guy, Barnabas. And your good friend Tychicus and Titus and Apollos. And remember the folks at Corinth, the Stephens family, and how they addicted themselves to the ministry? Do you know what, Timothy? With all those people in mind, you've got a faith that's authentic. It's real, and I'm convinced of that. Remember your faith. Remember the forefathers. Remember your feelings. Remember your faith. It's the real McCoy. Young people, is your faith authentic? Are you real? Do you play the game, the Christian game, when the dorm personnel walks by? Do you play the Christian game and say all the right words and act the right way, but then your digital footprint says something else about you? Is it authentic? Is it real? That's what Paul's getting at. You know, many times in Maranatha's history, we've had a senior walk into a teacher's office and say, "Hey, got to talk to you about something. I'm not saved. I've been faking it. And God has really gotten a hold of my life, and I need to get saved. You help me?" I remember that happening. And then in chapel, we would find out maybe a day or two later, someone giving a testimony and say, "Hey, guys, I got saved last night." Dorm Devo, some senior stands up and says, "This is a great thing. I just need you to know that I've been playing the game the whole time, and now it's real. And now it's real. I'm going to not play the game anymore. It's all real." Is your faith authentic? Timothy, when I remember you, I remember your faith. It's the real McCoy. There's a fourth memory. Verse 5, the latter part of verse 5 says, "Which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice." And I'm persuaded that kind of faith is in you too. This kind of authentic faith that is true of you, it was true of Grandma Lois and your mom, Eunice. And that's what I want you to remember. Now, Timothy's dad was a Gentile. He's not mentioned here. Apparently, perhaps wasn't a believer. But he had a godly grandmother and a godly mom. They were God-fearing Jewish believers. And part of the reason for Timothy's faith being so authentic was that he saw it modeled in grandma and mom. And so, Timothy, remember Grandma Lois? Remember the first time I showed up at your house and mom was saying, "Hey, Paul, glad to have you. Listen, our plan is to go to grandma's house today. Would you like to come along?" "Okay, sure, yeah." And so mom and Timothy and Paul, and they all go to grandma's house. And so you walk into grandma's house and everything is old. You ever notice that? Somehow the walls are older than any other walls ever. And the plates are old. And the cupboards are old, and the way they're styled is old, and the covering on the table is old. Everything's old. And the cobwebs, they're like old cobwebs. You know, two young spiders show up, "Hey, here we are," and some old spider says, "Oh no, this is Grandma Lois's house. Young spiders aren't allowed to make cobwebs here. You gotta go." "Oh, okay, come on, Bill, we gotta go down the road." I don't know why I think of stupid things like that. They're old cobwebs. I mean, you could sell them. They're antiques. Everything's old. And so you get to grandma's house and everything's old, but man, then you smell strawberry pie. How many like strawberry pie? Just raise your hand. Just think about strawberry pie for a moment. Can you see it in your mind's eye? I'm trying to do this because I know lunch is coming up. I have no idea what's coming at lunch, but I just thought I'd put a strawberry pie in your head for a little while. Or pumpkin pie. We're getting to that time of the year, right? How many of you like pumpkin pie? How many like the taste of pumpkin pie? Oh, my. I'm really being bad here, I recognize, but it's really fun. You smell pie or apple cider. You know how it's on the stove, and you got the smell and that little bit of cinnamon in the air, and you walk in, it's like, must have. Right? Apple cider, yeah. Remember Grandma Lois's apple cider? Oh, yeah, we sat around and we drank that and we laughed and cut up and had a great time. Grandma pulled out an old game and it's like Monopoly from 1930. But somehow it was fun. We had a great time. Grandma Lois was great. Remember that time when we had lunch together and we were so full and then we went back for seconds and then, of course, since you're at Grandma's house, you can go for thirds and fourths and you don't get in trouble. And that time you skinned your knee and Grandma is like a combination of a hospital, a kindergarten, and a playground all wrapped up in the skins of love and wisdom. Really. Remember Grandma? Timothy, you remember your mom? Oh, remember that minivan and what a mess it was? We all had something in a crevice of that minivan. But remember her mom? She was the soccer mom that drove us around to all of our games and all our baseball games and all the after-school activities. And she was always there. And she was always rooting for us. And, of course, it didn't matter how bad we lost. We were always the cutest team, you know? Mom was always there. Who sat and watched my infant head when sleeping on my cradle bed and tears of sweet affection shed? It was Mom. When pain and sickness made me cry, who gazed upon my heavy eye and wept the fear that I should die? Mom. Who taught my infant lips to pray and love God's holy book and holy day and walk in wisdom's pleasant way? Mom. I can never cease to be affectionate and kind to thee because you were that way to me. Ah, no, the thought I cannot bear. And if God please my life to spare, I hope I shall reward thy care, Mom. When thou art feeble, old, and gray, my healthy arm shall be thy stay, and I will soothe thy pains away, Mom. It's almost like Paul believes in the Ten Commandments. Honor your father and your mother. And he says to Timothy, remember Mom? Remember Grandma? Remember your family. Remember the forefathers, right? Remember your feelings. Remember your faith. Remember your family. This is a season of memories, Thanksgiving. Good time to think back about how God has incredibly blessed all of our lives so that those memories would be powerful. And Timothy needed all of this because verse 6 says this. I want you to remember one more thing. Stir up the gift of God that is in you by the putting on of my hands. It means fan the flame. Fan the flame of your Christian experience. Dr. Davis told us that we're all tired, and he's right, and things are wearing down on us. Assignments that are now past due have piled up like a Tower of Babel in our life, right? And we face things that we've got to get done. We're not feeling all that good because it's Wisconsin, which means it's going to snow tomorrow, right? And, of course, my roommate is so dumb, they got sick, and now I'm sick, right? And I'm worn out. The job isn't going real well. The news from home isn't great. My bill is coming due. And somehow, all of that means that I'm struggling to believe God. I'm struggling to trust in Him because it isn't nice and cool and exciting the way it was the first couple of weeks. Now it's hard. And it was hard for Timothy. Ephesus had been a hard ministry. There were other massive temples there, and so many of these people had been saved out of an occult life, and so trying to help them, you know, become all that they needed to become in Christ was so incredibly challenging. Timothy was struggling with it. The embers of faith had grown cold. The burnt ash of worldly cares had smothered the fires of ministry. He needed to fan the flame. Fan the flame. And you do that by remembering. Remembering the forefathers. Remembering those feelings, those tears, that time when you wept over God's goodness and his grace. Remembering your faith, that day when you really trusted Christ and the authenticity of it all. And remembering the goodness of God in giving you your family. Some of you, it's not a particular person. It's like a composite of people that acted as a mom or a dad in your life. Timothy, fan the flame, because you know what? God has given you an incredible foundation. He's given you not fear or courage. He's given you power. He's given you love. And he's given you a sound mind, wisdom for discipline in your life. When you remember the forefathers, when you embrace those feelings, when your faith is authentic, when you think about your family, and the incredible model that they have set for you. Let it fan the flames of authentic Christianity in your life, because God has given you an incredible foundation of courage and power, love, and a sound mind. Fan the flames. Fan the flames. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed as we're done today. We've got a little bit of time here, so let me just take the opportunity. Maybe there's one or two of you in here, and there's a statement or two made in the message, and you're saying, Pastor Morris, that's me. That's me. Something in this chapter, something in your message today smacked me right in the face. I got to fan the flames. Is that you? Can I pray for you? I'd like to. Just raise your hand. Put it up quickly and put it back down. It's okay. God sees it. I need to fan the flames. I need to fan the flames. Anybody else want to join these? Just raise your hand up and put it right back down. Good, good. Respond to the Spirit of God in your life. Anybody else? God, you know the hearts, the lives of these students. You know the struggles that each one of us are going through. And sometimes how our faith begins to falter. And so, God, I pray that today, especially for these that raised their hands, that they would know power, love, and a sound mind. That they would have some incredibly powerful memories that would strengthen them and encourage them to go on. And so, God, we pray for this for your glory, that Christ would be exalted. In Jesus' precious name, amen.